Good morning, everyone. Who's ready for a new day? There's a lot of new things in store, so you can actually just reach on up right now and start receiving it. This is a day of receiving generously. He is full of new things. His mercies are new every morning. With every new day comes a new realm of his glory, which births new songs, which births new revelation, which births new wisdom, new understanding. There's so much new for us today, and we take a hold of it. We're so excited. Today's a day of impartation, and just as his words are being released, as his songs are being declared, as the Spirit is moving and he's calling us to move in new ways, like we learned last night. We stepped into a new dimension of moving with the flow. There's an impartation throughout this day for you to step into the miracle that I know that you've come here believing for. Amen? He's here. It's all about him. Jesus. It's not about Joshua Mills. It's not about me. It's all about him. And all the glory goes to him. Every sign and wonder, every miracle, every demonstration of his power belongs to him. So, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this new day that you have set before us. We thank you for this opportunity to breathe in this new realm, to breathe in this new day. And we receive everything that you have for us. We receive generously so that we may give and release generously to those that you surround us. Father, thank you for opening up our minds. Thank you for opening up our eyes. Thank you for opening up our ears, our hearts, to receive the increased glory that you have for us today. In your mighty name, we give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How many are excited to be in the house of God this morning? Yeah. This is a house where God brings forth change. This is a house where God transforms lives. This is a house of healing. This is a house of peace. This is a house of blessing. And so even as we're in this place this morning, we ought to expect to get everything from God that we can possibly get. And this morning I was thinking about some of the things that I'd shared last evening in regards to entering in the flow of God's glory. And I was feeling like this morning I wanted to share some of my personal testimony about coming into some of these things of God. I grew up in Canada. Janet and I, we are Canadians. I've actually been a missionary to America since I was the age of 19. And so we've had a lot of influence and lived for many years within the United States. But we are Canadians. Somebody say, praise God. Okay. And so you can love us, and you can be at peace with us, and all those kinds of things. The thing I love about Canada, we are a peacemaking nation. So we like to go in after the storms and after the wars and all those kinds of things and just hand out Kleenexes and Band-Aids and, you know, love and hug and all these kinds of things. And so we come to you very peacefully, okay? No aggression whatsoever. We're peace. We're peaceful. People, and we love you, and we won't bite you, and we won't hurt you. And anyway, growing up in Canada, the thing about Canada is this, and it's probably what you have in your mind when you think about Canada. It's very cold. Yeah, there's a lot of snow, and that's true. It is, and it is very cold in the wintertime, and there's a lot of snow. And the place that I grew up in Canada is within the Great Lakes regions. I don't know if you know about the Great Lakes, but it's a specific region, eastern part of Canada, and they have this thing called the lake effect, which makes even more snow than there should normally be. And because of the lakes, we get these deluges of snow. Last winter, people got snowed in for entire weeks on end. They had snow up to the tops of their doors. People couldn't get out of their house because the snow was covering their door. And so this kind of stuff happens a lot, where there's just a lot of snow, there's a lot of ice, a thing called black ice. Have you ever heard of black ice? It's ice that you cannot see, so you're driving down the road, you think everything's fine, but because the ice is so fine, your car begins to spin and flip, and cars go all over the road and causes accidents. And so I don't like wintertime at all. And I know some people, they love skiing, and they love snowboarding, and they like ice skating. And there's some people that they just absolutely love those kinds of things. I don't like any of it. I don't like snow. I don't like cold. I don't like wintertime. And ever since I was a very young child, I always told my mother, I said, when I grow up, I'm going to move to Florida. And the reason why I said Florida was because I just knew there was palm trees there, and it was warm there, and it was hot there. And so I said I was going to move to Florida. And my mother would tell me, Joshua, you can't move to Florida because they've got hurricanes. And so then I would tell my mother, well, when I grow up, I'm going to move to California. Same thing. I knew they had palm trees, nice beaches. It was warm weather. I'd never been there ever in my life, but I'd been told these things and seen pictures. And so I told my mom I was going to move to California. She said, Joshua, you can't move to California because they've got earthquakes. And I would tell my mom, but I can't stay in Canada because we've got snow. And I don't like the snow. And so anyhow, many years went on. And how many know the Bible says that God will give you the desires of your heart? Now, that scripture ties into, really, the connection of when our heart begins to align with the heart of heaven, when our desires line up in the desire of God and the heart of God, suddenly things begin to come into our life that we could not expect in a million years. And suddenly we begin to see the dreams that God has for us becoming real and beginning to unfold within our lives. And many years went on. When I was 16 years old, I had a dramatic encounter with the Holy Spirit where the Holy Spirit literally got a hold of me. And all of a sudden, it was the only way I can describe it is like the lights came on. And, you know, I was raised in the church. I'm fifth generation Pentecostal. My parents, my grandparents, my aunts, my uncles, everybody was always involved in ministry the whole time I was growing up. But when I was 16 years old, I had this encounter with God where everything became so vividly real, where the lights came on and suddenly it was no longer somebody else's encounter, but I encountered God for myself. And in that experience, I got so on fire for God. And one of the things that God did through that encounter was he took me into a season where I would literally just spend time purposefully in his presence every single day for anywhere between 2 hours to 5 to 6 hours every evening, just soaking and waiting in his presence. Okay, remember that soaking I was telling you about last night? I did a lot of that. And in those moments of just being in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit began to teach me how to play the piano, how to worship him. The Holy Spirit became my teacher, began to give me songs, teach me how to sing songs to the Lord, and led me into this encounter where I would be up in my bedroom as soon as I get home from high school, because I was in high school at the time. As soon as I get home from high school, I go directly to my bedroom, sit down at the small little toy keyboard I had in my bedroom, and I just begin playing. And the Lord would give me these songs, and I just release these sounds, and I'd be experiencing him all by myself in my bedroom. And my mother knew that if I was playing on that keyboard, not even to ask me to come to dinner, not to ask me to come to supper, but they would go ahead without me. And if I came down later, she would gracefully bring out my meal when I came down. And if I didn't come down, she didn't worry about me. She just knew that God was doing something in my life. And I thank God for godly parents that were able to discern, even though they didn't understand the fullness of what God was doing, they knew enough that God was doing something. Just leave it alone. Don't touch it. And so I did this for about 2 years straight, where every single day I was just in the face of God, just worshiping him at night. And it would be for hours. And it was wonderful. But in that, after 2 months of being in that encounter, I began leading praise and worship in my church. Now, I have to understand, I did not know how to play piano until I had this encounter. I did not know anything about praise and worship. In my mind, when we went to church, we had formalities, and one of the formalities was a song service, but I didn't connect. There was no spirit connection to recognize that it was not just a format. It wasn't something we do just before the preaching comes, but actually it's about getting our heart into alignment corporately with the entire body that's coming, joining together in like mind, like spirit, to receive from the heavens. And God began teaching me this. 2 months after I started, I began leading praise and worship in my church in a youth band. And then people began to invite me from all over the surrounding area, from about a 2-hour radius around where I lived. People began inviting me to come and minister at youth conferences on the weekend or at their church meetings on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Now, I was still in high school and doing my school studies during the week, but on the weekend, I started traveling. That was 18 years ago. That was 18 years ago I started that. And I haven't stopped traveling ever since. Isn't that amazing? And so the day I graduated from high school, I was writing my final exam. The Holy Spirit spoke to me, gave me very specific instructions about moving 2 hours down the road to a place where my grandparents lived. And so I called up my grandmother. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me. So I went home and I called up my grandmother and I said, Grandma, I said, can I move in with you? She said, is everything okay at home? I said, oh yeah, everything's fine at home. There's no problems at home. But I just felt like the Holy Spirit told me I was supposed to come and move in with you and that he had something there for me. And so my grandma said, oh, we'd love to have you come, you know. And she was my charismatic grandma. She was always a little bit more spiritually crazy than any of my other relatives. And I say that in a very God-honoring way. I mean, she was just totally radical and out there. And when I was a little child, she used to read me a book called I Saw Heaven by Robert Laridon. And I remember laying there in the summer times, and she'd have all the cousins. We'd all be laying together in the bed, and she would read this book to all of us, this story about this little boy going to heaven, getting caught up in heaven and having these experiences with God. And we'd go home and tell our parents, and they'd be like, I don't know, you know, like... But she was always just radically, like, out there. And the amazing thing is Roberts has become a good friend of mine since then, which is just mind-blowing because I used to read these stories about him, and then he became my friend. So anyway, that's a whole other thing. But amazing. So my grandma was excited about me moving in, so I moved in. And the first Sunday I went to church, when I got to church, the pastor announced that he was looking for people who would help lead worship teams because the demand had become too much upon one worship leader that they had in the church. And so I went up and I spoke with the pastor after the service, and he had heard about what God had done in my life and the thing, how God had been leading me in praise and worship. And he said, we'd love to have you lead praise and worship full time here at the church as one of the leaders of a worship team. And so immediately, like that first weekend that I moved, God had already prepared a position for me, and I became a worship leader at this church that I had just begun attending, like that day. Is that amazing or what? But God knows, we have to enter into the flow and be willing to flow with God into the places that he's bringing to us. So I was leading praise and worship that morning. The first Sunday morning I was leading praise and worship, I was on a Korg i3 keyboard over on this side of the platform, to give you a visual reference. And as I was leading praise and worship, now I'm 19 years old at the time, and I'm looking out, and all these beautiful ladies, single ladies, are from one side of the altar to the other side of the altar, dancing before the Lord. This felt like a spiritual smorgasbord for a 19-year-old boy that was single and looking for a godly wife. And so I was leading praise and worship, and I was looking at all the different ladies as I was doing that, and I looked down and I saw Janet Angela. This is the first time I ever saw her, and she was dancing before the Lord, and she had the biggest smile on her face. And I remember thinking, I would really like to get to know that girl right there. And so the pursuit began, and I began pursuing Janet Angela, and she didn't seem to be taking notice of any of my hints and suggestions. And I mean, I was making all the moves, and she wasn't even noticing that I was making any moves at all. And it took me the whole summer. This was in June I saw her for the first time. It took me all summer. I pursued her all summer, and she was playing so hard to get. Ladies, make sure you play hard to get. Really. Does something inside of us. And the whole while she was so hard to get, the more I wanted her, the more that I wanted to be with her, the more that I wanted to spend time with her and get to know her. So anyhow, in October, finally, she opened up enough to say that I could take her on a date. And so in October, we went on a date, and then I began courting her. And we were in a relationship. Most of it was actually ended up being a long-distance relationship for about 2 years. During that time, I got a phone call from the minister who was preaching the evening that the Holy Spirit got a hold of me when I was 16 years old. And he called me and he said, Joshua, he said, I'm leading a revival in Southern California in San Diego County. And he said, I would really like it if you could come and lead worship for me. He said, it was supposed to be a 5-day revival. It's turned into, I think at that time it was 3 or 4 weeks, maybe even 5 weeks at that time. No, I think it must have been 5 weeks at that time. It extended to 5 weeks. And he said that the worship team from the church had already been committed to go lead worship for a youth camp that week. So he needed a worship leader. Well, there's some things you have to pray about. And then there's other things you've been spending a lifetime praying about. When he said, would you like to come to California? Immediately, I said, yes, yes, yes. God, you've heard my prayers. All my life, I prayed my way out of the snow. All my life. And so I said yes, and I went to California, and I led praise and worship for 1 week. And then, would you believe this? And I know that God was in this. The airlines went on strike at the end of the week. And you could not get a flight. And so the only thing I could do was stay in California for an extra week. Hallelujah. And so Pastor Bill told me, he said, why don't you just stay and lead praise and worship for the second week? And now the worship team's back, so you can teach them in the new song and the prophetic song of the Lord. And that would be wonderful. And both of you all can be together leading worship together. And that would be real good. And so I did that. And then at the end of the second week, Pastor Bill took me for dinner and he sat me down. And he said, Joshua, he said, I'd like to propose something to you. He said, God is using my ministry in a mighty way for revival, but he said, I know that there's always a sound attached to every revival. There's always a song that comes with the move of the Spirit. And he said, what I really need in my ministry is someone that carries a sound, someone that has a song, and I would really like you to become full-time praise and worship leader with my ministry. But the thing is this. He said, I pastor a church on the weekends. Every weekend, I pastor church, and it's in Florida. So you would have to come to Florida with me and lead praise and worship on the weekends in Florida. But during the week, you would have to come with me to California and then lead praise and worship from Tuesday to Friday in California. There's some things you have to pray about. And then there's other things you spent a whole life praying about. I said, yes, yes, I knew this was God. And so I moved, and this is the most amazing thing. When I moved to the U.S. for the first time, I moved to both California and Florida. I had a residence in Florida and a residence in California at the same time. God gave it to me. Hallelujah. Is that crazy or what? And so I told my mom, she did cry a little bit. She cried Canadian tears. My mother is so Canadian, you have to understand her. She is like Miss Canada. She loves everything Canada. She's very patriotic. And it's Canadians aren't as patriotic as Americans. Americans are extremely patriotic. But my mother is patriotic for Canada as Americans are for America. She is extremely. So me saying that I was actually leaving Canada, it was heartbreaking for her, and she shed a lot of Canadian tears, but she got over it. Hallelujah. And she has been, her and my father have been some of the biggest supporters and backers of our ministry. And actually, because of them, we were able to come to South Africa on this trip. They're at home watching. My mom and dad are watching our kids, Lincoln. He's almost 13, and Liberty, she's almost 3, and they've been watching them for 2.5 weeks in Canada. So I'm so thankful for my parents, and they've been big supporters of our ministry. Anyhow, I ended up in Florida and California. I was in California, and I invited Janet Angela to come down and visit me for a week. She came down for a week. We ended up getting married in during that time, and then we shared our life together doing ministry in California and in Florida, and then God spoke to us. Me. And he didn't speak a loud, audible voice. It was just a knowing that came from God. And God spoke to me, and he told me that it was time for us to move back to Canada. And my response was, God, I will do anything for you as long as it's here in Florida. And no matter how I prayed or what I said or how I tried to make deals with God, has anybody ever tried to do that? Like, really try to negotiate with God. And no matter what I did, I had this knowing on the inside. It was a season that God was opening for us, and we were to move back to Canada. And so I told Janet Angela, and she actually came into agreement with it. She had a peace about it. You know when you just have a peace, even though you don't necessarily like it or want it or have a desire towards it, you just have a peace. You know that it's God. And so we had this peace that we're supposed to go back to Canada. And so we packed up all of our stuff, and we ended up moving back to Canada. And when we went up to Canada, the one thing I was thanking God for was, well, at least we're moving to southern Canada. Like, where I was born and raised, it's a place called London, Ontario. It's southwestern Ontario. It's one of the most southernmost parts of Canada. So at least we're not moving, like, to the Arctic or somewhere that there's, like, a lot of snow and polar bears and igloos and dog sleds, you know. Those things exist in Canada. We're not moving up there. We're at least moving, you know, it's just along the American border. We're not too far from America, and it's manageable to drive to Florida and these kinds of things. So, okay, we're okay. And we get back to Canada. We go to church the first weekend. We're at church, and the man who was my pastor when I was a child and a teenager, he came up to me, and he said, Joshua, he said, I have a new ministry. I'm not pastoring anymore, but I've got a new ministry. I said, oh, what's your new ministry? He said, I've got a ministry to the Canadian Arctic. And when he said that, I was like, inside my head, you have got to be kidding me. Because I knew what was about to come. He said, I feel like you're really supposed to come with me to the Arctic. And I'm thinking, God, you know the last place on earth I want to go is where it's colder than where I already am. God, I came back to Canada. You told me to come back to Canada. We came back to Canada. And now you're opening up this door of the Arctic. I don't want to go. And so I told him, I said, I don't feel led to go. And I shut that door as quick as it opened. And I walked away from it. And for a whole year, God began speaking to me about the Arctic. And God began revealing to me through my spirit that actually there was something in the Arctic that he had for me, and he really wanted me. It was his desire for me to go. Now, I could make my decision whether I wanted to go or not. I could take the opportunity, or I didn't have to. It wasn't a matter of salvation or not. But there was a blessing that God had for me there, and it was absolutely clear that it was there for me if I would flow and participate and walk into it. And so I kicked and screamed a little bit and made a fuss about it and prayed and tried to negotiate. But after a whole year, it was September of 2002, I think, this pastor came up to me again in church. And he said, you know, Joshua, he said, I've been thinking about it. I really feel like you're supposed to come with me to the Arctic. And at this point, I knew that I was. And so I said, well, I know that I'm supposed to go. And so when would you like me to come? I'll go once with you. And he said, I'm going up in a few weeks. He said, why don't you come the end of the month if your schedule's open? And it was. He said, why don't you come with me? I've got a place that I'm going way up on Baffin Island. And so I'll arrange your tickets and I'll take care of everything if you'll come. And I said, okay, I'll come. So I arranged everything. I ended up flying from Ottawa, Canada, up to a place called Iqaluit up on Baffin Island. I don't know if you know where that is. It's within the Arctic Circle of Canada. And then it's up above the tree line. But then the place that we were going was a place called Kikiktarjuaq, which was further north on Baffin Island. And we got in a little tiny plane at this point, one of those planes that you probably take, like, back in the bush. You know, those little tiny, you sit there and, like, the pilot's, like, right in front of you. Yeah, one of those planes. And so I was sitting on the plane, and I was just resting there. And all at once, as I was looking out at the runway, all at once, my spirit was lifted from my body, and my spirit was caught up into a heavenly encounter where all of a sudden I saw the Canadian Arctic from one side to the other side, and I saw it covered, absolutely plastered with just this black filth that was covering as far as I could see. And the next thing I saw was the hand of the Lord with a rake, and he lowered me down towards the earth, and I saw him beginning to rake back on this black filth. And suddenly, as he began to rake back on this filth, there was this beautiful, glistening, brilliant white snow, just like diamonds, that was sparkling. And it was revealed all the way across the Arctic. As he continued to rake back, all I could see was now this these glistening diamonds. It wasn't diamonds, it was actually snow, but it was sparkling. And as I was looking at that, I still didn't understand what I was seeing. He lowered me a little bit further, and I saw this golden vegetation beginning to sprout up from the snow cover, and the vegetation was coming up through it, but it was coming in golden color, and it was all different types of vegetation. It was trees, it was flowers, it was bushes, it was plants of all kinds, and plants that should be there, and then plants that shouldn't be there. Like things you would expect in Canada, like evergreen trees, and then things you wouldn't expect, like palm trees. And it was all coming up and sprouting through, and it was all golden in color, and I still didn't understand what I was seeing. And I asked the Lord about this, and he lowered me a little bit further and actually instructed me to take a golden ear of corn off of this golden corn stalk that was growing. And he told me to take this golden ear of corn and open it. And so I reached out and I grabbed this golden ear of corn. And I began to peel back on the, the husk, the corn husk. And as I peeled back inside where you would normally see kernels, corn kernels, it was beautiful diamonds, just like a corn cob, but all diamonds. And I was looking at this, and I still didn't understand the Lord about this. And I asked him, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, abundance comes when my spirit and truth is revealed and accepted. And when he said that, instantly, I was back in my body, and I was looking out of the airplane window. But this time, there was voices that were yelling, and there was hands all over me, shaking me. And I didn't understand what was going on. I had this amazing encounter with God. And all of a sudden, I'm on the plane, and people are yelling my name and shaking me. And the man who had taken me, who was my pastor before, he was right there calling my name, and his hand was on my chest, and he was shaking me, and he's saying, "Joshua, Joshua, Joshua." And I don't understand what's going on, and we're sitting on the runway, and he begins to explain to me. He says, "Are you okay?" I said, "I'm fine." And he says, "What happened to you?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you have been passed out. You have been out of it for the whole flight." And I didn't even realize that we had actually gone up in the air and gone from Iqaluit all the way, landed in Kikiktarjuaq. We were actually on a different runway. And during the flight, it was one of the most horrendous flights they had ever been on, where it was like a roller coaster. They were hitting wind streams and stuff were just coming against them, and they're going up and down, and people were screaming and yelling. And in the middle of it, it seemed like I had completely passed out or maybe even died. And this man who was traveling with me was worried because he didn't know how he was going to explain it to Janet, Angela, and to my family. He's been a family friend for 25, 30 years, for a long time. He didn't understand how he was going to explain to my family that he had taken me to the Arctic and killed me. But I wasn't dead at all. My spirit wasn't in my body. My spirit was actually engaged with God, seeing something in the spirit. It's amazing because I didn't know anything about the Arctic. I didn't know anything about the Inuit people. I didn't know anything about their land, what they were going through. But God showed me something prophetically for them. And being in that flow of the spirit, God took me into something that was beyond my natural understanding, my natural mind. And I began to share with my pastor the things that God had just showed me. And he said, "You need to share this with the pastors as soon as you meet them." Well, we got off the plane. Soon as I came down onto the runway, the pastors were all standing there, like literally right there outside of the doorway, the stair of the plane. And Pastor David asked me to share with them. And so I began to relate to them exactly what had just happened to me, like literally minutes prior. And when I began to share it with them, there was such a glory, and many of them began crying tears just streaming down their face. And they said, "This is a confirmation to things that God has already spoken to us." Now, I didn't know what God had spoken to them, but God had been speaking to them that as people began to turn their hearts towards the Lord, as people would begin to embrace the truth of Christ, that their God promised that their communities and their land would be healed. And that it would not only be a salvation for people's spirits and for their bodies, but that it would be a salvation for the land in which they resided. Hallelujah. Like a healing for the land. And so when I began to share this, they took this as a confirmation that God was bringing prosperity to their land, that he was going to bring diamonds, and he was going to bring gold, and he was going to bring resource where there hadn't been resource, and it was going to be unusual. Remember, I saw all different kinds of vegetation, things that looked like they belonged there, and things that looked like they had never been there before, never belonged there before. And this was a word of the Lord for them. Now, during those meetings, we had some great encounters with God. I told the pastor when we were in Ottawa, we were sitting there talking about the Arctic, and I said, I would really like to see a polar bear. Now, I don't know anything about the Arctic except they got polar bears, igloos, and dog sleds, and Eskimo people. And I told him, I said, I'd really like to see a polar bear. And he told me, he said, Joshua, I've been to the Arctic 30 times, and I have never seen a polar bear. I said, well, I think I'm going to see one. And he said, yeah, you know, patted me. That's nice. It's probably not going to happen. Well, we were up there. The glory was falling. The river's flowing. Hallelujah. The wind was blowing. I could go back in that message from last night. The fire was burning. Cloud was moving. And the polar bear came out of wherever they come out of, walked right into the town, and they woke me up, and they said, Joshua, there's a polar bear outside. And so we went outside in the truck, and I got a whole lot of pictures of the polar. It's a polar bear mama with her little tiny polar bear cubs, absolutely beautiful. And God knew where to put them. He literally put them right on the side of a hill, and there was a big ravine, and then there was another kind of plateau where we could stand on. And so we were standing here, and those polar bears are probably just as close as I am to that back wall. That's where the polar bears were. But with this big ravine, it was completely safe to stand because they're very dangerous. Just like your lions are very dangerous. And I got about as close as I am to Pastor Steve with a lion the other day, and I loved it. I thought it was fun. And of course, we send the pictures back home, and my parents are freaking out a little bit, like, we like watching your children, but we're not going to parent your children. Just be careful with those lions, please. So God gave us a lot of favor, and in the meetings, we had some of the most spectacular signs and wonders. I can never forget, we were in the meeting, and literally standing in the front row, there would be a golden shower of rain that would come in the altar area. I mean, just like a column, if you could say that, just like a fall. And when it would come down, everybody would just begin glorifying Jesus. But you know what the little kids would do? They would get out of their seats and they would run through the altar, just like it was a sprinkler, just like a glory sprinkler. The kids would begin running through it around the church and then running through it again and then around through it. And I think it's wonderful when our children are engaged with the glory presence of God, and they would come out of that and they would be covered from head to toe in this golden manifestation. And because of the signs and wonders that were being released within the church meetings, many people that were in the community that would normally never ever come to church, they began coming to church not because they wanted to hear about Jesus, but because they wanted to see the gold. And you know, that riles people up. That makes religious spirit very, very upset. I mean, people get their religious shorts in a knot over that one. I mean, really. And there was a few people in the church that were upset. They said, well, people are just coming to see the gold. And I said, let them come, because they wouldn't come any other way. Let them come and see the gold, because when they see the gold, they're going to encounter Christ. They're going to encounter God's glory. They're going to find about something that's greater than the gold, greater than the sign, the one that the sign is pointing to. And every single night we had souls harvest, where people gave their heart to Jesus Christ for the first time as Lord and Savior. Absolutely miraculous, absolutely amazing. That whole town got turned upside down. It's called Kikiktarjuaq. The whole town had this dramatic encounter with the glory realm of God. We went home. I thought I had done my duty up north, and it was wonderful and had this wonderful experience. But I got home and I began getting emails. And the first email I got was from Pastor Billy. And he said that they discovered veins of gold in the hills just north of the community where there had never been gold before. They had analyzed and looked at the land previously, and there was no gold. They went back up after the prophetic word and after the glory encounter. God promised he would heal their land. They went back up and they discovered gold. Pastor James Ariak wrote me a couple weeks later with an email saying, they have discovered clams in the water where there have never ever been clams before. I'm talking about God putting something in the water that never existed in those waters in all of time, in all of history. Since that time, they have started a clamming industry that brings millions of dollars to the community, provision coming directly from God, because God promises to heal the land of the righteous. Hallelujah. When we get so touched by the power of God's glory, it can't stay within us. It's got to flow from us into our spheres of influence, into our communities, into the regions where we live, into our nations. The glory of God that God is bringing into our life is coming into our lives to be expressed in every facet of who we are. Every aspect of our being, the glory is coming to change things. The glory is coming to heal things. The glory is coming to restore things. I got an email a few weeks later. They discovered diamonds in the land. Oh my God. Now, when you prophesy from the Spirit and then things begin to happen that God showed you before they saw them happen in the natural, you get a lot of invitations. I'll just say it like that. And so all of a sudden, you know, I had gone to the Arctic once, thought I was doing my duty in God, being a good little Christian boy, obeying God. And all of a sudden, I had this deluge of invitations from communities all across the Arctic wanting me to come and minister in that same essence of God's glory, releasing the message of what he's doing across the north so that it could be caught, so that it could be heard, so that it can be imparted, so people could begin walking into it. And all of a sudden, we began going, Janet and I began going to the north. It seemed like almost every month, sometimes two times a month. Within 2 years, I went to the Arctic over 27 times within a two-year period. I felt like my whole life, I was almost living in the Arctic because of how much time I was spending in the Arctic. Went from one side to the other side. But the amazing thing about God is that when God leads you, he's not leading you into a curse. He's leading you into a blessing. And sometimes you might not perceive it as a blessing at first because it's uncomfortable or it's something that offends you or it's something that you don't really prefer or you don't like. I don't like cold weather. I don't like snow. I don't like cold temperatures, and God was taking it, and it felt like, you know, God, why are you doing this to me? God, why are you hurting me? God, why are you killing me? God, why are you, you know? And at the end of the day, he wasn't doing any of that stuff. When I let go and let God, I began to discover that he was bringing me into a place of blessing like I had never, ever been before in my life. And one of the most wonderful things about the Inuit people, the Eskimo people, you call them Eskimos, we would call them Inuits. But one of the most wonderful things about the Inuit people is that they have such childlike faith. You don't have to convince them that the supernatural is a reality because they live with the supernatural every single day. And much of it has been the demonic supernatural that has come into their lives and brought curse upon their lives and all these kinds of things. And when they begin to connect with the genuine divine supernatural of God, the holy supernatural, there's something that begins to turn inside of them, and suddenly they become alive in Christ, and they begin to flourish. And God used them really to birth even a childlike faith inside of Janet, Angela, and I, and to give us such faith to believe God for. Like, we began seeing crazy miracles in the Arctic like we had never seen anywhere else. We would go up to communities where people do not have access to dentists or dental facilities, and their teeth are rotting out in their mouth because of the lack of hygiene, the lack of medical care that they have. And we would be in the atmosphere of glory, and God would begin to repair people's teeth, give them brand new teeth. Sometimes it would come gold and silver fillings. Other times it would come just like white enamel. There would be times when God would touch somebody in their mouth and clean all their teeth and give them a teeth whitening. And I know for some people in first world nations, we would even criticize that and be offended by that. Oh, God's doing cosmetic surgery. Why would God do such a thing? There's people suffering with cancer. Why would God give someone a teeth whitening? And, you know, the problem with our mindset is that we've limited God to actually being just like a genie in the bottle, like he can only grant us 3 miracles and then we use up all the miracles he has, not realizing that he is unlimited in nature. There is no limit in the spirit. There are no limitations in the glory realm. And as we begin to move into this realm, God can whiten somebody's teeth and heal somebody of cancer at the same time. God can supernaturally provide for someone in a material means and also cause somebody to rise up out of their wheelchair. God can minister a supernatural creative miracle causing gold dust to fall as a sign for people to receive salvation at the same time that he rains down supernatural manna or provision or food from heaven to feed somebody that's hungry. We've seen all these different kind of crazy miracles, unusual miracles, extraordinary miracles. God is not a genie in the bottle. We have to get this out of our mindset. Well, why would God do that when there's this? Listen, he can do both. And at the end of the day, he sits in the heavens and he does as he pleases. We worship him. Hallelujah. We bless him. We sow to the heavens. And then God begins to sow to the earth. And it's wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to take these limits off. God began to whiten people's teeth. Now that's crazy, right? I mean, I know it's offensive to your mind almost. But for these people that don't have access to dental facilities, this is such a sign and a wonder and a miracle. Really. And God began to teach us and give us childlike faith to believe him for some of the most unusual and extraordinary little tiny miracles. And it was absolutely wonderful, the things that we saw God do in the north. Another thing that began to happen, areas where caribou, and you know, they're people of the land. The Eskimo people are people of the land. They live on the land and it's above the tree line, so they don't have access to trees or bushes or shrubs or plant life. They're meat eaters. And that's what they survive on. Still to this day, they live on the meat that comes on the land. So the caribou, which is like reindeer. Maybe you'd understand reindeer. Animals that are like reindeer come in herds across their land. But they're gotten to a place where there was so much stuff happening in their communities where there was alcoholism and murder and drug addiction and incest and all kinds of sexual sins and just terrible stuff, and actually all of that stuff was coming on their communities and really shutting people down. And when it happened, not only did it shut the people down and cause such anger and animosity within the communities, but it began to affect the land. And caribous began to disappear. And I'm not talking about just migration patterns, because, you know, there are migration patterns with animals. But I'm talking about where there should have been animals, those animals begin to disappear. And they've scientifically researched this, and you can look at the stats of, I mean, it's crazy. These animals begin to disappear. The whale begin to disappear. The beluga whale that they rely on begin to disappear from their waters. The seals that they relied on, there was less and less of these seals for them to hunt. And the things that meant survival begin to disappear. But when they begin to embrace God, and when salvation began to come not only into their lives, but then it began to flow through them, it began to touch the land. And entire communities begin to rise up in this glory revelation. And as the communities begin to embrace the gospel, embrace the goodness of God, begin to embrace his grace, suddenly that grace began to touch the land and heal the land. And the animals began to come back. And the caribous began to come back. The whales began to come back. The seals began to come back. And you know what else happened? And this is so phenomenal. Remember that vision I saw where there was plant life that was coming that didn't look like it belonged? All of a sudden, little tiny berry bushes begin to grow in the... It's above the tree line. Scientifically, analytically, this is impossible. This does not happen. It's a land that's covered with tundra. I don't know if you know about the tundra. There's just tundra. It's little bits of moss on a bunch of stone. That's all they've got. And all of a sudden, these berry bushes begin to appear. And the people begin to go and collect the berries. And actually, God was giving it to them as a food. And you know what the most wonderful thing about that food is? Is that the berries are a dessert. Isn't that just like Jesus? To give you your dessert. I mean, it's like the cherry on top of all the other blessings. We serve a good, good God, don't we? I love that song that we were singing in worship this morning, that heaven is smiling down on us. God is in a very good mood. Hallelujah. And he's a good God that loves. He loves us with an everlasting love. And I love this. He began to give them berry bushes, and they began to collect the berries and eat the berries. And God began to do such transformation in the land. And is it okay if I'm sharing this testimony about these things? Okay. And we ended up going up and ministering in a community, Janet, Ange, and I. Well, okay, I want to share another testimony that connects with this really quick, and I'll try to make it really quick. There was a woman, her name is Pastor Annie Turtuluk. Her daughter's name is Alice. She was unsaved, didn't know the Lord. Her husband was the drug dealer, drug lord within the community of Wakeham Bay. Kangasujuak is actually the proper name for the community. And so Pastor Annie gets touched by this glory. She was in the meetings in Kikiktarjuak. She goes back to her community. She had purchased a book, and this is not an advertisement. The book was called Waves of Glory, and it has long gone out of print. You cannot get it. Actually, you can buy it on Amazon from somebody else, and I saw they were selling it for like $200. Can you believe that? So I really do need to reprint them and then sell mine for like $75. You know, it's a real good deal. no, just kidding. But anyway, she had purchased a book that I had. It was the testimonies of the signs and wonders, how God had brought me into this move of glory. And she bought it and she read it and she was encouraged by it. And she thought she would give it to her daughter, Alice, to encourage her, because her daughter didn't know the Lord. Daughter wasn't serving God. And so she wanted her to just read about some of these miracles, things that God was doing. So Alice wasn't feeling good one day. She was spending the whole day at home. This book was laying beside her couch. So she grabbed it and she began reading it. And she began reading about how I shared the testimony about getting covered with this gold dust, this supernatural sparkling gold that just comes from heaven. There's moments in glory where God literally begins to light us up like a Christmas tree. I mean, we just begin to... See, the Christmas album just makes sense, right? It just seems to, it's just the whole theme. And so, but this beautiful sparkling gold just begins to come upon our hands, our faces, our Bibles, our clothing, and worshipers in worship. And so she was reading about this. And as she's reading, she looks over and she sees this sparkling gold literally shooting out of her wall, just like fireworks in her living room as she's sitting on the couch. And she's thinking, that's weird. That's really weird. I don't understand what this is. And she's trying, you know, her mind is trying to process and analyze the whole thing. And she goes back, she's reading the book, and I talk about supernatural oil. At times it will come, it will flow from our hands. It's a sign of healing. We don't need the oil to know that God wants to heal, but there's times when the oil will flow, and it's a sign that that healing presence is there in that moment. There's a manifestation for it to become visible in the natural realm. And so I was sharing this, and she began to read about this, and all of a sudden, oil began to drip from her ceiling. she continued to read, and I talk about angels showing up in the meetings, and I talked about angelic feathers coming on, and maybe I just opened up a can of worms. No, you know what I just opened up? It was a can of glory. That's what I just did. And, oh, Lord. There'll be times when these tiny little, and I'm not talking about a chicken being in the room or pigeons in the rafters. I mean, if you got pigeons in the ceiling, then don't say you got angel feathers falling in church. Those are pigeons. And, but there are times when just supernaturally these feathers will begin floating in the atmosphere, even hundreds of thousands of them just begin floating in the atmosphere. I've got videos I could show you of times when the glories come, and literally, it would not be an exaggeration to say tens of thousands of feathers begin to fill the room, the whole atmosphere floating like a cloud above the people. Just these feathers begin to float in the atmosphere, covered with sparkling gold. I mean, it's unexplainable in the natural, but it's God. And one man came up to me. He said, "Brother Joshua, I have a real problem with the feathers." You know what I told him? I said, "If you have a problem with the feather, you're going to have a bigger problem with the whole angel. I mean, really, you're going to." Sometimes the greatest breakthrough you can get in the glory is a breakthrough from yourself. Hallelujah. I mean, you just need a breakthrough from your stinking thinking, from your old mindsets and all of that. And Alice was reading about these angels showing up and the feathers appearing, and all of a sudden this feather began to float down right in front of her face in her living room. And she's, you know what she did? Tears began streaming down her face. She got down on her knees and she gave her heart all by herself. She gave her heart to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Said, "Be Lord of my life." God is releasing signs and wonders to reveal to humanity how much he loves you. How much he loves. He doesn't have to do it. We don't need a sign and wonder. We've got his word. But he is so good, he loves to give signs and wonders. He loves to bring a confirmation. He loves to show us. He loves to grab our attention. And Alice went, and of course she called her mother, who was the pastor in the community. And she called her mother and said, "I just gave my heart to Jesus. God's doing miracles in my home. Come see it." So her mother comes over, sees the gold coming out of the wall, sees the oil flowing from the ceiling. Alice shows her the angel feather. And you know what her mom says? Her mom says, "We need to go up to the radio station and make an announcement, because other people, if God's releasing signs, it's so that they can be seen. It's not so that they can be hidden. And so we need to tell other people what God is doing so they can come and experience the same glory." And so you have to understand this about the radio stations in the Arctic. They're a lot different than the radio stations you would have. They have this one station. Everybody listens to it all day long. Everybody's got their radios tuned into it in their trucks, in their workplace, in their homes. Everybody's listening to the radio station, and it's country music. It's country music all day long. But every once in a while, they use it as a public paging system. And every once in a while, Johnny, can you come to my house and get your dog? Because your dog is at my house. Anybody who wants to have access to it can just drive up to the radio station, take the microphone, make their little announcement about come home for dinner, or my car is broken down, can somebody help me fix it, or whatever they want to say, and then it goes back to the regular country music. So Alice and her mother, Annie Turtuluk, they go up to the radio station, and they make this announcement about the glory showing up in Alice's house, and anybody who wants to come see it, they can come and experience this glory, the miracles of God. So that's great. That's exciting, right? That everybody knows now. So the problem is her husband. Do you remember his name? I can't remember his name. He's a wonderful brother. But he was the drug lord in the community. You remember this? And this is not good for business when your wife has miracles showing up and she announces that she just gave her heart to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So he's pretty furious about this. He decides he's going to go. He was literally in the middle of a drug deal, and he decided he's going to go home, and he's going to beat up anybody who tries to come into his home because he's not going to let them see these things in his home. And so he goes on his way home, and as he gets there, there's already people in the home experiencing the glory of God. There's people laying out inside the house. He goes to walk into the house with this attitude like he's going to take care of business and clean everybody out of his home. When he walks into the home, he literally steps into a cloud of glory. God gets a hold of him. He falls out in the spirit. God begins touching him. Instantly, he gives his heart to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and suddenly he gets delivered of drug addiction, alcohol addiction, all these things that have been hindered him. He gets radically saved. How many know that's really bad for drug business? Really bad. The drug lord gets saved, so now drugs cannot come in to the community. Because of this encounter that Alice had in her home, the community literally went into a revival where people who had never known the Lord before began getting saved. The whole community got so on fire for God. By the time Janet, Angela, and I got up there that summer into Kangasujuaq, by the time we got up there that summer, everybody had given their hearts to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, was serving the Lord. There was such glory in the community, except for three people. There was three people that were still unsaved. It was the Royal Mounted Police. Do you know the Canadian Mounties? Dudley Do-Right? You've heard of these before? Okay. So the RCMP officer, he was not saved. And then the two prisoners that were in jail, they were not saved. So the first night we're ministering, and the RCMP officer comes in the back of the church just to see what's going on. The church is filled, like, to capacity. You can't fit more people in the church. There's people standing outside the church because the entire community is serving the Lord. I mean, this is crazy, right? Remember what the Bible said? What the Lord said. He said, my abundance comes when my spirit and truth is revealed and accepted, right? So there's great prosperity and provision that's coming into this community. We minister that evening. We gave a salvation altar call because we knew that RCMP officer was not saved. He came down. He gave his heart to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in the meeting. He got so filled with God, he went back to his post, back to the workplace, back to the place where there's two prisoners that still are unsaved. He begins telling them what happened in the meeting. At this point, Janet, Angela, and I are fellowshipping with Pastor Annie Turtelook at her home. Now, the way that they do fellowship after church in the Arctic is they sit on the floor in the kitchen, and they'll pull in one of these caribous into the middle of the kitchen. I'm talking about the whole caribou. They pull it into the middle of the kitchen, put it on a cardboard mat, cardboard box that's been opened. We all sit down in a circle around it. We grab our knives and we just begin to dig in. And we'll be up to our elbows in blood and just pulling out meat and just eating it and fellowshipping together and talking about the goodness of God and all of these wonderful things. And no, you don't have to, don't worry. It's warm. The meat's warm. Because the caribou was running like 5 minutes ago. It was running outside. So it's raw meat. They are raw meat eaters. That's how they eat their meat. Everything's raw. Caribou's raw. Beluga whale is raw. The seal is raw. Everything's raw. Once in a while, they'll cook it to just change things up a little bit. But they love raw meat. So we're up to our elbows in blood. Are you okay? Okay. Y'all are like hunters. You love to hunt and you love, right? No? Okay. I was with Bill Johnson 3 weeks ago. We were ministering in Melbourne, Australia. And he said something so funny. He said, if God didn't want us to hunt animals, he would have made broccoli more fun to shoot. So... Anyway, we're sitting in the middle of the kitchen, elbows covered with blood, and all of a sudden the phone rings. Pastor Annie gets the phone. It's the RCMP officer calling. He said he's been telling the prisoners about what happened to him in the meeting, and they want Janet and I to come down and begin explaining it to them. And so we clean up a little bit. We go down to the prison, and they have two jail cells, and both jail cells were full. There was two prisoners. And we begin explaining to Janet, and let me say it like this. Janet and I began preaching to the entire prison about the gospel message and God's plan of salvation, how much he loves them and how much he wants to minister to them. And we began preaching this message to the whole jail, and everybody there announced to us that they wanted to give their hearts to Jesus Christ. And so we, it just sounds more Bible this way, doesn't it? And so we reached our hands through. I held the hand of one prisoner. Janet reached her hand through, held the hand of another prisoner. Their families were there with us, and we ministered salvation to them. They gave their hearts to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The whole jail got saved. Hallelujah. Really. And both prisoners got saved. And we went home from that back to Pastor Annie's house, and we got another phone call, and the RSMP officer said, when you left, the whole prison began shaking, and the prisoners fell to the ground, and suddenly things began coming out of them, and then suddenly they began to speak in a language that I don't understand. You know what happened? They got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I mean, God did it in such a supernatural, dynamic way. We were in that community when every single person was saved, living for the Lord, and that community was in full-blown revival. Now, I share that to say this. If God could do it in the Arctic, why wouldn't God want to do it in Africa? If God could do it all the way up north, why wouldn't God want to do it all the way in the south, in South Africa? Why wouldn't God? Come on. It's no problem for God to get a hold of people, but God is looking for people, you and I, people that will be willing to flow into those places that he leads us. I'm so glad I let go and I let God. I'm so glad I decided to cooperate with God and follow the leading of his spirit to go north when I felt like I didn't want to go north, when it was felt uncomfortable. It felt like it was going to be difficult, like it would be a stretch for me. Some of the most wonderful miracles we've ever experienced have been in the Arctic, and I could go on and on telling you testimony after testimony after testimony, but I believe that God wants to heal this land. I believe that God wants to bring restoration. I believe that God wants to release salvation across this land in an unprecedented way where there would be harvest like there has never, ever been harvest before. Hallelujah. How many could agree with that this morning? Yeah? How many feel a little bit challenged, inspired? This morning, yeah? Amen? God can use you, amen? Okay, I want to give you an opportunity to sow into the glory this morning. We're going to receive one offering this morning during the course of these morning meetings. We're going to have another session in a few minutes after a snack break. But I just want to give you an opportunity to sow. I believe that every opportunity we have to sow into the glory is always an opportunity to participate and partner with the blessing of God. Amen? How many believe that? Okay, and so I just want you to prepare your offering. We're going to pass. Do we have baskets, buckets, or bags? We still have the bags. Okay. So if the ushers want to come and get these, and we'll pass these through the rows. What I want to do is, since you were asking for it last night, were you asking for the Christmas song? Okay. I'm going to play one track off of the Christmas CD. It's actually a track that's not too Christmassy. Just wait a second. I'm going to pray over this before we pass them. I'm going to play one track that's not too Christmassy. I was ministering in South Korea last May. I was 30,000 miles high in the air and over top of Japan. And all of a sudden, this song dropped in my spirit. Just 1 minute, okay? I'm going to pray over this offering and then we'll do it. This song dropped in my spirit, and all of a sudden I knew I had to sing it, because if I didn't sing it at that moment, it would be lost forever. And so my phone was out of battery, so I asked Lincoln for his phone. He gave me his phone, and I began singing this little song, this little ditty, in the cell phone, and I recorded it, and then I got home, and people were looking at me on the airplane like, what are you doing? What are you singing? If people get very suspicious. If someone starts singing on the plane, everybody becomes very suspicious of that person. So for the whole overseas flight, I was suspicious to everybody. But anyway, I sang it, and then I got home, and I put the chords to it, and then sent it off to my producer, and we ended up putting it on the Christmas album. It's called Gift of Love. And actually, if you download the album for pre-sale right now off of iTunes, you actually get the song Gift of Love immediately. as a download right away. You'll have it today. And okay, stretch forth your hands. We're going to pray over this offering. Then I'm going to play the song as the offering is being collected. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you bless the seed, that you bless the sower. Lord, I thank you that you have given us the ability to sow. And as we sow this morning, we thank you that we're partnering with the blessing. We're partnering with your glory. Lord, we thank you that there's no limits, no limitations in your spirit or in your glory, that all things are possible. We believe that you'll move and do things that are so extraordinary and unusual within our family, within our homes, within our physical body, within society, within the regions in which we live. Lord, we thank you that even as you've done it in the Arctic, Lord, we thank you that you will do it in this land, and we will see it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, you can go ahead and pass that out the way that you like to pass it. Okay, and turn that up nice and loud.
When you came into my life, I was caught by surprise. It was more than I imagined, yet the moment felt so right. You found me at my weakest. You came to rescue me. Greatest gift that I've ever seen is the way that you love me unconditionally. The greatest love that I've ever known is how you gave of yourself. Now I'm never alone, 'cause you gave it all.
Beautiful. If you were here last night, you would have heard Joshua sharing the testimony about Capitol Recordings and the LP, the Christmas miracle that's coming online in October, but is down for pre-order now on iTunes. Just an amazing story last night. But that was, it's one of the songs off the LP, eh? Okay. All the rest have got jingle bells, a little bit of chung 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 chung. We're going to have a short break now. Let's be together sharp at 11. James has got something to say.
Just a quick announcement regarding our cappuccinos. Unfortunately, it was serviced this week and something must have gone wrong. So I really do apologize, but unfortunately our cappuccino machine is giving us problems this morning. So we have got the filter coffee going. So depending on what the ladies are charging. Yes. And did he fix it? Well, there you go. The glory got released over the cappuccino machine. That's awesome. And then I do have some glasses. Did anyone leave glasses here last night? There we go, Liz. All right, so enjoy. Bless you. And we'll see you back here at 11 o'clock, eh? Or quarter past? Okay, 11. 11 o'clock. We have a telephone charger, a cell phone charger, and a remote. If you've lost a remote, last night that was picked up. It is at the front door. Ford car keys. If you've lost Ford car keys, Greg, put your hands up, Greg. Greg Watson has them. Ford car keys.